You're with JT on Remnant Radio, and we're here with the same group of folks that we have been listening to this wonderful topic of the Holy Spirit and how He is everything. He is our all in all. So let's just continue and let the Holy Spirit lead, shall we? So tell us, Pilgrim, when did you encounter the Holy Spirit?
Oh, man.
You've opened up a can.
Yeah.
I think he's been there my whole life, brother.
But as far as that actual heart conversion and a dedication and that's been, 33, 34 years ago, you know, before it went to that level.
What was the real clincher there? What happened in your life? Why are you sold out, dedicated to God? What is this Holy Spirit thing that happened?
Because I lost my life. I didn't want to live my life anymore. And I said to Jesus, I says, "You take my life. I don't want it no more. Give me your life." So it's been ever since.
So you were raised a Christian? You
no, I wasn't raised a Christian. No one told me about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know nothing about it, brother.
So the Holy Spirit came upon you at this point.
Yeah, because I was getting ready to do myself in, to be quite honest with you.
Oh.
I was sick of this life, and I had enough. That was at 18 years old.
Knew you didn't belong here.
I'm ready to go. I mean, if all there is to this life is 70, 80 years, and all we do is we go to the grave, just get it over now. Just get it over now. I don't want no more of it. That was as simple as that. God knew that I was getting ready to get serious and stepped in because He had a mission and a purpose for me.
So
because He knew that my desires, my heart isn't in this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I was. Just how it was.
And that's why you coined the name Pilgrim.
No, actually He told me that I was a pilgrim.
Did He?
That's where the word Pilgrim, because that's what He called me.
Right.
I says, well, if that's good enough for Him to call me that, then that's what I'm going to, that's what my name is.
Amen. Brother?
I think you're asking for testimonies about the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Because he really is our empowering.
Yeah.
And that might be good for some of us to share what the Lord has done and the diversity of how the Holy Spirit has dealt with each of us.
Yeah.
Well, I became a Christian when I was 26, 27 years old. One day I came home from work, found a note on my dresser that read, "Ray, goodbye, I've split, you can have the kids and everything." And my ex-wife left and left me with four children. And about a year later, I came to the Lord. Well, I received Him as my Lord, as my Savior, but I didn't know Him in power. I desired that people would come to know the Lord like I did. So I tried to tell people about Him. And the more I tried, the more I failed. I tried memorizing scripture and doing this and doing that, and I memorized the four spiritual laws and, you know, all the good stuff. Nothing that was bad, but it seemed that every time I would try to share the Lord, I would fall flat on my face. And I remember I was at work one day. I was a produce department manager for then Safeway stores. Now there are no Safeway stores, but in this area. But I was a produce department manager, and I tried sharing the Lord with the fellow that was the frozen food manager, and he put me down every time. I couldn't answer him. I didn't know how to answer him, and I failed and failed and failed. Finally, that one day, I got tired of it. I decided I would take a break. Took my 10-minute break, went in the restroom, and I was in the sitting position. So I was sitting on the throne. Now get this. Sorry for the uncompromised word here.
You're on from the hip.
I was sitting on the throne. And I remember that day so vividly, just like it happened this morning. I remember pointing my finger up to heaven And I said, Lord, I desire to serve you. But if you want me to serve you, you have to give me the power to do it because I can't. And about that minute, about that instant, just like slamming into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour, it was that emphatic upon me. The Holy Spirit came up on me, and I was a different person. From then, I went out and talked to that guy. I led him to the Lord that day. And this guy was demon-possessed, and he would come down on me every time I would mention the name Jesus. But I started winning people to the Lord, and when I touched them, they'd get healed. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say pray for them. He said lay hands on them. So I just lay hands on people. They were getting healed. You know, it wasn't me doing it. I just simply believed the word. And you know what? Everything was fine until I shared this with one of the demons, or deacons of the church. One of the deacons of the church, he said,
you're on,
well, okay.
From the hip.
He said, okay. You'll get over it after a while. This will all settle down. And I let those words sink in. I didn't know enough at that time to block them, cast them out.
Now, wait a minute.
Cancel them.
A deacon in the church
told
you that you would get over this in a little
right.
while.
That right. That I would settle down and come back to reality.
Right.
That came from the church.
Okay. And you obviously from the heart.
I received it. That's the thing.
The mouth speaks, and he said the demon.
Yeah.
Obviously a demon was...
That's really what it was.
There's only one who is against the Holy Spirit.
It's an anti...
That's it.
Christ.
Right on the head there.
Yeah. So anyhow, I received that. And maybe this is something our listeners should be paying attention to. When people speak things, you can either receive them or reject them, those things. If people tell you, well, you'll never amount to anything, you have the ability to receive that or reject it. And if you receive it, then you just sign the paper for it. If you let them, if it gets in here, remember Jesus said the word is a seed. Not just his word, but every word is a seed. The heart is the ground. And if you let that seed go in the ground, it's going to start growing. And then you just bought the farm at that point. Well, I bought the farm. And I started living a life of ineffectiveness. And these things that we've been talking about, I went through myself. But praise God, I came out of them. Brother handed me a tape about prayer, teaching me how to pray in a way that I'd not been taught before. And that changed my life. And from that moment on, there was just about a four-month period where this happened. But for 4 months, I was totally ineffective. I went from giving out meat, I mean, laying hands on people and watching them recover from physical illnesses, and no one ever taught me about that. I just did it. To a life of ineffectiveness just really hurt me. So I actually got to the point where I think I was almost born again, because I got to the bottom. You know, it's like being born again. And it's been different since then. So that's my little testimony on the Holy Spirit, brother.
Let's just move it on down the line, and we're listening today as the Holy Spirit leads, and we're listening to the testimonies of the Holy Spirit with this this wonderful group that we've been listening to.
I was raised in a Baptist, Southern Baptist home.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not. So I would, every time the door was open, I went to church. Training union, choir, because my mother believed that you needed to go to church every time the church door opened. And I asked Jesus to come in my heart when I was 12. But it never felt right. I did it because that's what I was expected to do. And I kind of saw Jesus as kind of an icon. I didn't truly have the understanding of what he had actually done, because I really wasn't taught all that. But I went through my life trying to be the perfect Christian, not ever making any mistakes. And the harder I tried, the more mistakes I made. And that's what they taught me. You know, I used to be told, if you do this, or you do that, lightning's going to strike you. And you're going to go to hell.
Yes, the old Southern Baptist, you're going to burn in hell syndrome. Yes.
And I always was looking. You know, because I tried so hard to be such a good girl. I really did. I tried to do everything perfect. But years and years went by, and I just was falling further back. And actually, Ray, the Lord sent Ray into my life. You know, God loves each and every one of us so much, and that was the day I really knew He loved me, because He sent a man all the way from California to South Carolina to meet me, to set me free, to teach me about the Holy Spirit and about how much God loved me, that He really was real. That, and, you know, when I first met Ray, I wouldn't go out with him. But finally we started, you know, meeting places, and we went to lunch one day, and he told me that he wanted to show me something. He pulled out this little card. Raymond Joseph Griffith, ordained minister. I looked at him and I said, ordained minister? I said, what are you doing with me? Don't you know I'm depressed? I don't even know how to have a relationship with a normal man, much less try to have a relationship with a minister. I said, take me home.
She made me take her home.
And the Lord spoke to me that night. I went home and I said, Lord, I said, you know I can't date a minister. You know how depressed I am, and I can't be perfect. The Lord spoke to me that night, and he said, Brenda, he said, stop running from me. Yeah. See, my mother made one mistake. She prayed before I was born for God to give her a child. And if she gave that a child to my mom, if he gave mom a child, that she would dedicate that child to God. Mm-hmm. So I was dedicated from the time because he answered my mother's prayer.
You were done for. Yep.
So I remind my mother that sometimes when she tells me things, I have to remember, Mom, you were the one that dedicated me to God.
Yeah, the contract out on her.
Contract out on her life. Yeah.
So Ray started teaching me, and I knew that there was something I needed. So I said, whatever it takes. I said, whatever it is, Ray. I said, I can't be the way I was. I don't want no part of that person anymore. I said, there's no life in what I was doing. I'm dying. And I was. The Lord told me to stop running. He says, hearts are going to come. He said, but I'm putting something in you that is greater than any of those hurts. The overcoming, the love. So I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that night. But a couple of weeks later, I pondered on it. And first of all, I said, Ray, if there's any demons in me, let's get them out right now. Whatever it is, let's get it all out. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the greatest day in my whole life. Ray said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have a heavenly language. That Baptist mentality. I said, I do. He said, yes, speak a word. Let it come out. And I wanted so much for that to flow. It was the faith that was stopping. It was there. So I said, duh. Ray said, there you go. You got it.
Duh.
I said, that's it. So, boy, my face muscle really rose up, you know, and I said, ta-da. You know, that is the Lord working on that religion that was in me, getting rid of it. So finally, after that face muscle, it was just like it grew, and I started speaking in my heavenly language, and I just kept speaking and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. It was like He was cleaning everything out of me at that moment. And then He did teach me. So those that don't have the Holy Spirit, there is no, unless you're empowered with the Holy Spirit, you cannot go forth in the kingdom of God and do what God has called you to do. It's a long story. I can tell you more, but we need to share with us.
Right. And what's your name?
Teresa.
Teresa, okay. Yes. Tell us about your encounter with the spirit.
Well, I'm kind of at the duh stage right now. Duh. I could go ta-da.
Is this the lady who was making the milk comment over here?
Yeah, milk. I probably have a lot to say. I just don't quite know how to get it out. I'm better at writing and sending emails than I am at actually speaking. But I do want to say how grateful I am for this group today. This has been such a gift to me, and I know it's directly from God because I've been going through so many hard times and just having to battle, you know, I mean, even though I'm praying and God is there, it's like He didn't want me to have to do this alone anymore. It's just been too hard, and this group today has been a real gift to me to try and get through some of these, you know, hard times. And I'm kind of overwhelmed with all the, you know, struggles and stuff, so it's hard for me to kind of go back and say what happened along the way. Someday I'll do that. I don't think I'm ready to do that right now. But I just want to, you know, say how grateful I am to God for this gathering. This is wonderful.
Well, each and every one of us here are here for you, most especially being that you're our sister in the Lord.
Yeah, Craig, go ahead. No? Well, I don't even know. Well,
we just took a leap of faith over here.
No, I don't even know where to start because I fell from the Lord after I had been saved once, and I accepted Christ. As a matter of fact, it was coming up will be my 14 years that I accepted Christ. But it was on Valentine's.
That'll be tomorrow, won't it? 14 years tomorrow. Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Let me tell you about what happened to me. I had a Damascus Road experience, what they call a Damascus Road experience. So, but it was to no credit of my own. The only reason why Paul had a Damascus Road experience is because it took the Lord Himself to convince the man. That's how stubborn he is, and that's where I was at. So, the reason being, you see, Paul grew up a Pharisee, so did I. I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. So I had what one lady I knew called Satan's Own Organization, which she coined the term because they call it God's Own Organization. But obviously it's not. If you know anything in depth about it, it is most certainly not. Very, extremely pharisaical. All of the issues that they deny or that they warp of the Christian faith are all of the major issues: the cross, the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the Holy Spirit, heaven, hell, just little issues like that. And so I had this great big puzzle of 1,000 pieces that I had grown up with that was missing 100 pieces. So when I got saved and when the Holy Spirit came, that really filled in the gaps. I mean, I could have told you every single Bible story that there was growing up as a kid, but I didn't understand the purpose behind any of them. To me, it was all history. That's why I hated, you know, social studies in school, because I had centuries of social studies, you know. And so I didn't understand the whole purpose behind the thing. But that's where the Holy Spirit did His work. At that point, I'm laying in bed yelling at God. And this is funny because I denied God, but at the same time, when I did things like this, it confirmed His existence. So here's a guy who says he doesn't believe in God yet is screaming at Him. So it didn't exactly pan out. So I had faith, even in my disbelief. But I knew that it was foolishness to not actually believe in God. So he was the one I was angry at. And I had a really bad, a father who grew up without a father, so he didn't know how to be a father. He learned his fatherly techniques through military and through cult religion. So I had a very militant cult religion shoved down my throat all my life, and I rejected this. And while I'm yelling at God, I was at the point, kind of like what Pilgrim said, mine was not a suicidal point, but I was getting ready. I had gotten sober through the AA program. I had come to believe in prayer, because you have to believe in a higher power, which I chose to call God, because I thought those higher power guys were off in left field, and they are. But I finally got to the point where I was going to go headlong into the world. I was going to dive straight into the world. You know, I was going to stay sober, but I was going to go straight into the world and just pursue whatever worldly, you know, thing I could, because I couldn't find any gratification in anything else. But at the same time, I had a friend who was tattooed from like the jawbone to the wrist, you know, on both arms. Guy was just completely sleeved, and I thought, well, and he said, you need to come to church with me, bro. I said, well, you know, if this guy, they'll let him in, you know, they'll certainly let me in. So I went to this, and it was a Vineyard church. And while there, I saw these people, and they were happy. They were empowered somehow. They were joyous no matter what was going on. They had faith, and they had love amongst each other, and they were something else, man. I mean, this wasn't like church that I had ever gone to, you know. The church I went to, everybody there was in a, you know, what do you call that, suit and tie, you know, polyester, and everybody,
straight jacket,
and they had their lingo down perfectly, you know what I mean? They learned the lingo so that they knew how to answer every single question according to what they've been programmed, brainwashed, like robots. But the funny thing is when I talked to them after I received the Holy Spirit, they had not been trained how to handle that type of, you know, questions, comments, conversation, somebody proving to them that their religion was wrong, you know, and I feel really compelled to go into that ministry to fight against that demon. And I've had dreams and visions of that. But I'm laying there screaming at God, what do you want me to do? You know, I've lost my wife and my kids. Everybody I'm hanging out with, I don't know. And everyone I do know, I can't hang out with. You know, why am I on this planet? There's nothing that's mine. Everything I've worked for, I've got no goals, no which way to go. And the only thing I'm going to do is go headlong into trouble, you know, which I started to try to do. At the same time, I was going to church on Sunday, you know, next Monday I was making phone calls. So it was funny, because what literally I was trying to do was contact women that I knew were interested, worldly women. And I mean, I was shot down in flames on 5 in a row. And these were women that I knew were interested in me. So as soon as, you know, I'd broken up with my girlfriend, and so I realized that God had his hand in my life somehow. And I said, okay, if you're going to get your hand in my life, then you better give me something, because, you know, you can't just keep me out of the world without giving me something to fill the gap, you know. And while I'm yelling there, and I started out as a complaint, and eventually it got to the point where I'm yelling, tears are streaming down my face, I'm laying on my bed, my hands are out, and I bet my neighbors probably thought I'd fell off the wagon again, you know, because I had a couple years sober, and the neighborhood was quiet for a while. There was no police at my door, and, you know, my motorcycle was gone and everything. So here I am, and I'm in, you know, white trash trailer court, yelling, so you know the whole neighborhood can hear it through these, you know, tin walls. And lo and behold, a glory cloud comes rolling out of my ceiling, and out of the cloud comes the face of Jesus Christ. And I'm completely beside myself. And he tips his head in compassion toward me, and he sees me weeping there and just completely at a spiritual void. And the love that comes from Jesus Christ is not known to this world. It does not exist here. We can try our best, but his love is perfect, and it is complete. It is all in all. I can't even explain it to you. It's so pure, we can't even imagine it unless we're in his presence. So he goes away. And I'm left there completely flabbergasted. Now I know that he's real, and I can't deny it. What do you do? And I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. I know this is the answer to what I was saying to God. What do you want me to do? But it's not exactly a verbal answer. It was, who? And so what he wants me to do was Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, I was saved. I was saved by the Lord. And I started going to church more and more, told a friend of mine this and that. And I said, you know what? I called the church, one of the churches I was going to, and I said, I need to be baptized. I need to be baptized this weekend, right? He's all, well, you know, it's like, we've already got it planned for this weekend, what we're going to do. Why don't we just baptize you next weekend? Can you hold off? You know, I said, that's fine. I'm sure that, you know, I'm safe. So it's not like water is really going to help the situation. But so while I was there, lo and behold, the devil brings my ex back into my life. And the Spirit tells me, temptation from the devil. But I believed that, you know, we could work through things and then everything would work out fine. And I was wrong. But I had no mentor at that point. So during that time of grilling her and making sure she wasn't going to be crazy again, she had gone crazy again. And so we ended up, she had convinced me, and we ended up going and getting married. We said, let's do it right. And so we went and got married. And immediately after that, I don't know what, 7 times demons came out of her or whatever. But I'm there, and I'm praying to God again in my bed, and I couldn't believe what just happened. Complete turnaround. The lady was, I mean, they don't really, she got papers that show that she's clinically insane. But I'm laying there in bed, and I'm praying to God, what am I gonna do about this? What am I gonna do about this? You know, and I'm clenching my fists, and I'm on my elbows, and all of a sudden, my bed was alive. And I'm thinking, this isn't right. You know, I know that the bed is alive. And I can feel that the life goes out all the way to the perimeter of my property. And I'm laying on it. And I look and the wood is alive. Everything is alive around me. And there's some kind of energy going through everything that is, everything is alive. And I look and it was one of those water beds. And I look up and in the mirror I see the reflection of what the Native Americans probably would call the Great White Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of God, that which sat upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And I look behind me, and sure enough, there he is, the power that created the universe. And I'm floored. I don't know what to do. And he begins filling me with his wisdom, and he purges my mind, and I'm watching this stuff come out of the back of my mind, and it's coming out before me. I had the answer, literally. The things I recall was he showed me the secrets of Russian espionage. I guess apparently that bothered me sometime. Another thing he showed me was why there's no chicken in chicken noodle soup. You know? That, as a child, must have always perplexed me. He was purging my mind of questions that I had forgotten that I had, and he was giving me the answers simultaneously. So then he filled me with the Holy Bible. It was in Hebrew, and it was a eternal river going round and round and round. And everything that is in this book. I don't know how to tell you, but everything that is in this book. And he left me with the ability to see what it says. And I think that's great, because we have so many demon nations or denominations because, and the funny thing is, we all have the same scriptures. But the problem is we just can't see it. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't read this book. And that's what he gave me. So, and kind of a deliverance, prayer, faith type of ministry. So he ends up bringing me to the brink of permanent insanity from fear. I mean, the absolute terror that I can't even explain. We don't even know this terror on earth. But the powerful demons are afraid of him. And I was brought, if I had gotten any more afraid, I would have been insane permanently just from that fear. And that's an incredible amount of fear. So he removed his power at that point and left me with the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. And I went out into the living room, like almost glowing, And the Holy Spirit told me immediately, go apologize to your wife. So I went out there, and she was on the couch with her head buried under a big pillow. She comes out of the pillow, and she looks at me, and she says, what just happened in the house right now? I said, God was in my room. I don't know how to tell you. I grew up believing that God was, you know, the Father on the throne, impossible to be around, you know, and that Jesus was a patsy archangel, you know. This completely blew that theology out the door. So at that point, I became sold out. I not only knew that Jesus Christ is and was and is to come, but that the Holy Spirit is alive and active today, and we are still in this book that we're reading. We're somewhere right around Revelation right now. You know, this big, what, couple of inches of paper here, the Old Testament and New Testament, is what we've been through. And what we need to go through is about maybe 4 millimeters worth of paper. That's really close, you know what I mean? So nothing else really matters. I had a major experience, and when I got to the church to be baptized in water, I had gone and seen a guy in another church. I started going to every church I could, and I watched Christian TV every single time I was home. I listened to Christian radio. I mean, just nothing but the Word of God as often as I could. And, you know, I heard wrong things, and I heard a lot of wrong things. I'm thinking to myself, now these people don't know God. They think that he's this horrible, you know, whatever, but he's so powerful and so loving, it's just amazing. And his salvation is so merciful. Not just merciful, but graceful. He gives us power, which is more than mercy, you know. First he avoids the judgment, and then he gives us mercy by doing that, and then he gives us grace, which is power besides the fact. So it was really something else. And this brother that he put right in my path, lo and behold, I told him, I said, hey, Jerry, because he was a wild Christian in AA, right? And that's what he was called to minister at. I saw him, and I knew he was a wacko, and now I'm a wacko. And I said, hey, Jerry, I got baptized, you know? And he didn't even flinch. He saw me at a church, and he was giving me a ride home, you know? And he was just riding, and he kind of lifted his eyebrow and looked at me, and he said, you mean baptized in water or baptized in fire? And I just, boom, was alive again. Boy, just the Holy Spirit came all over me again, and I said, you know about that? And he just smiled, right? And we're driving in here. I'm thinking, oh, my God, no wonder he's so crazy. And the Lord put that guy in my path as my mentor. And lo and behold, I just took off telling him everything I just told you. So here he's explaining to me when he had this encounter. So by the Holy Spirit, by the hands of men, the Holy Spirit comes, according to the Scriptures. But there's a count of those being in the room when the Holy Spirit came down. You know, the 120, Cornelius' house, and somebody else. It was Acts chapter 4. And they prophesied and spoke in tongues. Now, this either means that they all prophesied in tongues simultaneously, or some prophesied and some spoke in tongues. Because the Spirit gives as He will, severally. There's lots of gifts, lots of different callings. It's really specific in there. I didn't receive the speaking in tongues. And there's a sect of the church that will tell you, well, then you didn't receive the Holy Spirit. But that's not what my Bible told me. It's not what my Bible said. In Acts chapter 4, everybody received the Holy Spirit, a big rushing wind, and he was right there in the midst of them all. For one thing, they didn't have anyone's hands laid on them, and they were all received it. I'm sure the Holy Spirit's more than capable of doing that. And they prophesied and spoke the Word of God boldly. There was actually no tongues in that one. So I know that there's a lot of folks who really limit the power of God, and that's what the church is doing today, as the Scripture says, denying the power thereof. So we got to really give God a lot more credit than what we believe. Even what we know, this is one of the things he showed me, is that we cannot know all truth while we're here in flesh because we'll burn up. That's why it's a body and there's seven spirits, the menorah. If you look at the temple from above, you look down, that's the body of Christ. There, the menorah in his right hand, the Holy of Holies is his face. So you look at, you know, the whole thing and there's a whole ministry on that. But we have to believe and walk in faith and become as a child. This is wisdom, being as a child, you know, childlike, not childish. But you've got to have that innocence in order to receive God, because God's not going to come into something that is evolved into something more wicked, you know. Or if we continue on the path of our flesh or get older, so to speak, more mature, quote unquote, like these great big mature bodies, you know, in these denominations, then we're actually moving away from God. It's when we become more simple that we receive His truth and we can see His light, you know. And that's the beautiful thing about embracing God, is embracing the Holy Spirit. What do you have for us, brother? You ready?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go back to it. Yeah, I was sort of like she was when I accepted Christ. I kept asking every Sunday when pastor would say, come down and or just ask Christ in your heart. I mean, for the longest time, I didn't feel Him in my heart. I mean, He wasn't coming in my heart. I mean, I felt so misled for the longest time. One day I was at a David Meese concert, and all these biker guys come walking in. They're called the One Way Riders. They were all standing behind me and all, and boy, I was into this concert, David Meese, and we're all singing and getting down and all. And boy, when he asked to have Christ in your heart, boy, the biggest overwhelming power came through my body. It was so awesome. It was on February 12th. It's been 14 years now, and that's the night my son was conceived. You know, same night. It was pretty wild. And he was born Christmas Day. And I had an angel come to me. I swear he came to me and told me that my son was going to be born Christmas Day, and we're going to name him Matthew. And no way that the baby was supposed to be born Christmas Day, but he was. He was born Christmas morning, and it was such an awesome, you know. But anyways, that's when I accepted Christ, and it was such an overwhelming feeling. Like you said, I mean, a lot of people are misled about Christianity and stuff. I mean, they are. I mean, you just aren't a Christian because you think you are. You have to ask Christ into your heart. You know when Christ is in your heart. You know, because I was, like you said earlier, I mean, you'd go to church and you'd ask, and it just wasn't happening for you. It wasn't happening for me either. Is that David Meese concert, and I had these bikers come up, put their arms around me, and say, right on, bro, we know what the heck's going on, man. And I sure did. It was so awesome. But anyways, I kind of slipped away for a while and just came back.
Hallelujah. Welcome back, brother.
Praise God. Praise God for that.
Powerful.
Well, glad to have you. You know, I know those One Way Riders. Yeah, they're in fact, the brother Daryl, who's one of the, he used to be the president of them, is who I moved out here with.
So I was met.
Yeah, Daryl and Kathy. Yeah, I knew them. They lived over in Flagstaff. That's where I got saved, and they moved back over here because they used to be here. So it's a small world. Buddy Christ.
Yeah, I came back January, I think it was 3rd or 4th, I was in a treatment center because I tried to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm. You know, the scriptures say that all have fallen short of the glory of God. And as I was attesting in my testimony there, one of the things I did, because I wasn't mentored, and this is why it's so important, like we were talking earlier, to get out the flow that's coming in, because there's people out there slipping through the cracks. And that's how we grow, is when we give and use our gifts, and especially with our brothers and sisters. There's so much division in the church. When I was in the world, I meddled in witchcraft, and I read the Satanic Bible was one of the things I had gotten into, and it was funny because the guy who wrote it, Anton LaVey, is like the minister of some church and everything else, and he said that Satan does not hate the church, but of course he's talking about the church that he's familiar with,
right.
Not the true church of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But he says Satan does not hate the church. He says, look at how long it's kept him in business.
Absolutely.
That was funny. When I read that back in the world, I laughed so, oh, man, that was so true. I mean, even when I was wicked, I could see truth, you know? Mm-hmm. Because even when I was wicked, guess what? God had his eye on me. He did. When I, from the time I was born, and he's always got his eye on us, no matter what we do.
Well, he wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't let me.
That's right.
I mean, I tried, but actually I didn't try, but I just polished off a bunch of alcohol and didn't work.
That is
Lord did not
the hardest way to commit suicide. I tried it for years.
I just got totally smashed. That's all I did, and I ended up in a treatment center for it. I checked myself in. I knew I needed help, so...
You know, one of the exciting things that that I see happening here is the body of Christ beginning to function the way it's supposed to. You know, there are needs. If you look at the first three chapters, or first four chapters of the book of Acts, you see how they were all in one mind, one accord. Whenever there was a need, if it was a physical need, someone would go sell something and lay the money at the apostles' feet or just give them whatever they needed. There, nobody lacked. Everybody had everything necessary. And it wasn't until in Acts chapter 5 where fear comes back in. And this is the biggest enemy of the church, fear. Until fear came back in that it began getting off. But when the church was functioning the way it was supposed to, they were full of faith. They were meeting the needs of one another. And they were doing exactly what the body of Christ was designed to do. And that's to grow and mature, meeting the needs of one another. And I see that happening right here. I see that happening right here. And our brother that just shared... what's your name again?
Craig.
Craig, that just shared that heartwarming testimony. You know, that's one that that he can identify with and that has meaning to somebody listening because he made that decision. And now he just ministered to me. You know, he showed me... in fact, gave me an appreciation for my salvation all that much more. You know, just God's degree and depth of love that will reach everywhere, anywhere, whenever you reach out to Him, He'll meet that need. Go ahead, Greg.
You know, the beautiful thing about humility is that it puts us back at the grace point. At the faith point, we have to always remember the fact that we were saved as sinners, and that's grace. I mean, the difference between me and the guy who's slipping away into a flaming hell is a barrier, just a barrier. You know, it's like a force field. I'm saved here. And that's it. It's grace that keeps me apart. So we need to really remember that. And when we get away from that, you know, I myself had 7 years of sobriety, and I ended up going back out after 7 years. And I realized that was the best thing that ever happened to me during my sobriety because it put me back to square one, which is what I forgot after 7 years, probably around three. I think at a year of sobriety, they threw a big party for me. I had a cake. Look what you've done was the big theme. You know what I'm saying? Year two, lo and behold, guess what? You've done even greater. Year three, oh boy, you know, they talk about God in the rooms, but you know what? There's no grace. No, sir. It's still all about what you've done.
Right.
And after 7 years of what I had done, it fell apart. And then I realized after 7 years that this was the most important thing for me. Now I understand. that it's all about what he's done. And every morning I wake up is a brand new life. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow ain't here yet. It's all about today. That's why they call it the present, because it is a present from God. And we cannot live in the past, and we cannot foresee the future. We know that we win in the end, but as far as our walk with God and what's going to happen today, you know, all that is not known to us. That's how we can walk in faith. And we have to walk in faith in order to please God. Amen?
Amen. You know, just to finish up the little testimony about the Holy Spirit, it doesn't end where I ended it. Actually, that's really the beginning point. At that point that I cried out and the Holy Spirit came up on me, and I separate the word upon very specifically, because the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, is in you. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit in three different ways. The Holy Spirit is with you, meaning with the world, convicting them of sin. The Holy Spirit in you, meaning the minute you receive Jesus as Lord, He, the Holy Spirit, comes in you. But then he talked about the Holy Spirit in another way. The Holy Spirit shall come up on you. And as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's something that, with the Holy Spirit being inside you, he comes up and then all over you. So the Holy Spirit is, didn't, when he came upon me, I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't know what tongues was about. I read it. I was only 3 or 4 months old in the Lord. And the church that I went to, they weren't talking about tongues, other than the abuses of tongues. And so I knew a lot about the abuses of tongues, but I didn't even know what tongues were. So with that in mind, you know, I wasn't, I had no expectations about speaking in tongues. And it wasn't until, 2 or 3 months later that I think I was just praising the Lord, just kind of singing in my heart and making a joyful noise to the Lord, all of a sudden I broke out in a language that my mind didn't understand. And I thought, what is this? And then a peace came on me. That's tongues. Oh, okay. So I just continued. And then I started learning about tongues, like Brenda shared a while ago, that speaking in tongues builds up your faith, and it empowers you, it edifies you, and just the benefits of speaking in tongues. And so that was kind of like Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story.
Amen. Brother Jeff, do you have any input for the program today about your experience with your introduction to the Holy Spirit?
Well, my conversion was a little radical, a little different. I had called out on God in my bedroom, and I said, whoever the true one is, present yourself to me, please. And, you know, to make a long story short, I started hearing someone responding, and then once I got up the courage to ask his name, he said he was the Lord Jesus Christ. Why have you served every other way but accept me? What's wrong with me? And couldn't find anything wrong with him. I tried and failed, and was trying to squirm my way out of that one. And then he challenged me to go buy a Bible, find out all about him. And the reason why I start out with how I came to know the Lord is because as I read the Word, I saw that there was a lot of stuff in there about miracles and people getting healed, and then eventually I got to the spiritual gifts. And for me, there wasn't any particular moment that I can remember where God just started speaking in tongues through me or anything. For me, it was beating the doors of heaven down trying to get myself to speak in tongues. I wanted it bad. I grabbed every person that I could that could speak with tongues. I'd say, do you speak with tongues? Do you speak with tongues? Do you speak with tongues? I'd even buy them lunch and take them out to play pool and then ask them about spiritual gifts for the next 5 hours. Drive them nuts. So for me, it was, I want everything God has for me. How do I get it? And, you know, this is the thing where I had to learn to let God give me everything. You know, I was very idealistic and a determined individual. I wanted everything I could get out of life, and when I accepted the Lord, I wanted every single thing He would give me. And with me and God on these things, it was like I had to wait a lot more than I wanted to. You know, I had to wait on the Lord, and I don't know, by trying to get the Holy Spirit, I ended up with the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues. There wasn't a particular time, but I pray in tongues all the time now. You know, it's I operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I ask God for every gift of the Spirit that was in the Bible at one point or another. And at times God's used me in those, but He's narrowed it down to a few main gifts that He uses all the time with me. And that would be, I pray in all kinds of different tongues, and I get a lot of visions, and I see things in the Spirit. And that's basically the area that God's gifted me in. So.
No, I do have a little bad news for you. We'll be off here. I think the headset mic is off.
Unfortunately, I got a little bit of bad news for you, Jeff. The Bible does say that He will give His young men visions and His old men dreams. This is what's funny, because I had visions before I was 30, but strangely enough, after I was 30, it's all gone to dreams.
Jeff's been telling me about dreams lately.
So I figured, well, this must mean that I'm now fully mature, you know. Yeah, that must be it. And sister, what do you have for us? We're talking today about our encounter with the Holy Spirit, the testimony that you have. What kind of experience do you recall when it comes to God's Spirit dwelling within you, or coming upon you, or meeting Him in a room somewhere?
I just knew at a very young age that Jesus was in my heart, and that the Holy Spirit was in me, because of just my circumstances when I was little. I wouldn't be alive unless God had actually done something miraculous in my life. I know the Holy Spirit is with me and in me, and it's just been a very comfortable knowing. He's my best friend. And I'm most comfortable spending time with the Lord. And just a very calm understanding, calm peace. I didn't have a mountaintop, you know, screaming experience or anything like that. Right. But I know and am convinced that the Holy Spirit has been walking with me and leading and guiding me every day of my life.
You know, there's a lot of people who have grown up with knowledge of God and that have been in the church, you know, for their whole lives. And it's funny that humans are so unhappy with the way they are, that I find a lot of people who have been out in the world and have gone through all kinds of problems and you name it, then they have a encounter with God to some degree. They either have a theophany or an epiphany of some type. And then, you know, here they're all these on-fire Christians now, and they see Christians that have grown up in the church as being so lucky, you know. Oh, man, you were never out there, and you never went through all that grief and all that loss, and, you know, you've never been divorced or whatever the case may be. And these other people who've been under God's wing for all this time are looking at the other people saying, yeah, but God came and scraped you up out of the barrel. That's never happened to me. So it's kind of like both people have, you know, this way that they look at each other, and we both need each other. I needed people who've been, you know, grown up. I grew up in the, quote, church, but it wasn't, you know, it was cult religion. And so I needed people who were strong in doctrinal background immediately, immediately, because I grew up with such a potent knowledge of the scriptures, but I didn't grow up with the spirit of the word. And so that's what I went into these people that had gone through all of this for their whole lives, and they knew inside and out the word of God. And I clung to those people like a leech, you know. And that's really what I needed. And they needed to know that God was alive. And I was there to tell them that. Yes, God is alive, you know, because they, a lot of the times you get into the monotony, the rigmarole, you know, the non flowing church, and so you get these people who they've heard it all, you know, Sunday Christians or CEO Christians, as they call them, Christmas and Easter only, but they begin to come out of that that active Godship, you know, that Holy Spirit Godship, and I'm grateful that the church is, you know, going through a lot of this Holy Spirit revival lately, you know, as of the last, whatever it's been now, 40, 50 years, you know, the Azusa Street revivals and stuff like this. And that's great, but we definitely need one another, you know, with all of our experiences and testimonies. It's by your testimony and the blood of Christ that people are saved, you know, and even more so your own brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, this is a really good topic. I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. It's 12 o'clock, just about, maybe a little bit more. And let's see if we have any music ready for us.
Can the military...
Well, actually, we have another brother who's preaching right now. So maybe what we'll do is we'll play a song. How's that? Let's see if we can play a song. All right, sorry about that dead air time. We're going to set up a guitar here, play a little song. See if I can get this headset mic to work. Check. Okay, I see. Down here, gain. Check. Check's in the mail, folks. Check's in the mail. Maybe what I'll do is I'll just use the same mic. Okay, sister's gonna give me a hand. All right, folks. Here's a little ditty that I worked out.
Did you figure out how to turn on the air there?
No, the head mic.
The head mic's not on.
Oh, the head mic's not on.
Are you on this one?
Yeah, I'm on both.
Okay, let me put you on the head mic.
This is a cute little guitar. Huh? Okay. Oops. Okay.
Get it down here.
There we go. This is a little song that I wrote. I've kind of been teaching myself a little guitar. Freight train, take me home to see my family. Policeman has shot me, trying to get home quickly.
dying to get home quickly. And the chariot swinging low hand, trumpet man is blowing, coming and taking me home hand. Chariot swinging low hand, won't you slow your train, conductor? Going home to see my mother. Sisters and my brother. Slow your train, conductor. I can smell your fire burning. The whole dang world is turning. Got your bellies aching. Inside my heart is breaking. I don't wanna see my daughter. Her daddy's down to slaughter. Gonna grow up with my mother, my sisters and my brother. Someday find a lover. And the chariot swinging low hand, trumpet man is blowing, coming to take me home hand. Chariot swinging low hand. Angels wanna take me home to see my family. The devil wants to make me. Please don't let him take me. Lord, don't let him take me. I confess my sin to you, Lord, now. Forgive what I've done now. Reap just what I've sown now. Lock the herd in your word now. Chariot swinging low hand, trumpet man is blowing, coming and taking me home hand. Chariot swinging low hand, coming and taking me home hand.
That was Freight Train Chariot. It was one of the songs that I haphazardly tried to sing. Okay, folks, we had a good break there. Let's get back on the air. You're here on Remnant Radio. Area code 702-293-5224. Today we're talking on a plethora of subjects, that typically being the Holy Spirit, which does, in fact, cover a plethora of topics. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes in many ways. The Lord is a very various God. He is, and I'm grateful for that. He's got many children, many different bodies of Christ, and here today we've got a group of folks that have been in discussion about the Holy Spirit, and we come from all walks of life and all walks of faith. And this is a beautiful thing when the Lord brings us all together and we let the Spirit lead, and we just worship Him and talk about what he's done for us, and we live in the day. And folks, if you are unfamiliar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you're not sure exactly what we're talking about, if you've grown up in a religion that sort of negates the fact that God is still alive and active today on earth, as Jesus Christ said he would send the Holy Spirit, and he is still here today, folks, until Christ returns. Amen. And he's the comforter. He's the one who gives us power. He's the one who helps us in our times of need. He's the one who puts the words in our mouth. And that's why we don't even need to have a script today, because the Holy Spirit is going to do the talking. Amen. So, if this is a topic that your church has not discussed, or claims is an inactive or inoperable power, or they say that the Holy Spirit is the feeling that you all get when you're together. That's what basically the church I grew up in said, that the Holy Spirit was the camaraderie that they enjoyed when they were all in together with each other's presence. Folks, if you're unaware of the live and active God on earth today, then you need to expand your horizons. You need to talk with some people. Okay, I'm not here representing any particular faith or denomination, except that I am a follower of Jesus Christ to the best of my ability with the help of the power of the Holy Spirit. And folks, if you're struggling in any way, shape, or form, if you know Christ, if you don't know Christ, we can always use greater contact with the Holy Spirit. So please, reach out, find out, do some study. Okay, you're not gonna burn in hell for finding out or for talking to somebody else. I could go right now and talk to a Muslim without having to worry about my faith or my positioning with God. Okay, my God doesn't work in fear; he works in love. I'm supposed to talk to that Muslim. Okay, I'm supposed to talk, go out and converse and be in the world and discuss life and issues and be all things to all men. Even, you know, the Satan worshiper, you name it, those people, believe me, I used to be a Satan worshiper, folks. They need to be saved as well. So don't think that because your church is telling you that you shouldn't talk to another church or something like that, that they are of God. Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to lead. And if you believe that the Lord is all-powerful and almighty and that you are his servant, you don't need to walk in fear. Okay? I can go into a Mormon temple right now if the Holy Spirit led me to do so. And you know what? I don't need to worry about it. I know what the truth is. I know what the truth is. I'm the bearer of light. You know? I had that milk for a while. I had that milk, and now I'm on the meat. And you know what? It soon comes to a point where you got to get it out or you're going to turn stagnant. You know, so get that Holy Spirit, folks. Pray to God. Say, Lord, I don't know what they're talking about here. Okay? And even if you did have some contact with the Holy Spirit and you need the help of the Lord, you could say, Lord, I need a fresh anointing. I need some more of your strength, more of your power. Rekindle the fire that's in me, Lord. I know that you're with me, and I know that you'll never leave me. And what I'm praying for, Lord, is, as the Bible says, more of them gifts. More of them gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that I can give, so that I can be a living water. Lord God, let me serve you. Let me strive to be more of what you actually created me to be. So, the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. Amen?
Amen.
Do you have anything else to add to that, sister or brother?
Well, praise God. I just want to say that having the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and the ability to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues, is one of the most misunderstood and the most controversial area, because Satan does not want you to pray in the Spirit, because he knows if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in tongues, you're going to be praying the perfect will of God on your behalf. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you are edified. You build yourself up. The Holy Spirit never prays anything that isn't perfect for you. Scripture says when you pray in an unknown tongue, you edify, build up yourself. So, don't be upset if your brain doesn't understand it, or someone else doesn't understand it. You are given the Holy Spirit because you need help. You need help because you don't know how to pray for yourself. You can't make it on your own in this life. You can't live a holy life on your own. So God has given you His Spirit. Believe. Ask Him for His Spirit. Ask Him that you might be able to pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. And as you pray in the Spirit, you will be built up. The perfect mystery of God's perfect will for your life is going to be prayed out on a continual basis on your behalf, and you will conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His goal for you. So allow His Holy Spirit to fill you, to pray through you, that you might attain all that God has called you to attain unto in Christ Jesus. And that is the perfect image of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be conformed to His image, His likeness. The Holy Spirit has been given so that you can be conformed to His image and likeness.
Amen.
Amen.
When you pray in the Spirit, it's frustrating to the enemy because you actually defeat him because he has no doors open that he can come in and cause any problems in your life because praying in the Spirit is talking directly to our Father. And it's speaking His heart and His blessing over your life. And the enemy doesn't understand that. And so he doesn't understand what God is doing. And in praying in the Spirit, you are protected, you're strengthened, and you also are given God's plan for your life so that you can have it inside your being. And at one point or another, it will come up so that you understand it. So it's really speaking your future.
Very, very good point. That's a walk of faith there.
And there's the great thing about praying in the Spirit is that you can do it anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days out of the week. You can be praying the perfect will of God for your life. It'll always be perfect. It'll always be what you need at that moment. And that is the great thing about it, is that if you want to have God's help 24 hours a day, 7 days out of the week, pray in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days out of the week. You know, it's a good thing. And God says for you to do it, so do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a beautiful beautiful thing, the Spirit of God. It's something that is so versatile for everyone. There's all these gifts of the Spirit. I read a book about it wasn't titled The 9 Gifts of the Spirit. It was entitled The 19 Gifts of the Holy Spirit, because we're looking at the ministries also that God is giving us as being gifts as well. It's a very, very interesting study. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, or you don't know enough about the Holy Spirit, folks, then I would highly suggest that you get some material, go to your Christian bookstore, find some topics on this, read the New Testament, read what the New Testament has to say throughout Acts, throughout Thessalonians, throughout the epistles that Paul has written, and the power that the Holy Spirit has. Now, Paul the Apostle is basically the preacher about the Holy Spirit. He was given the ministry of explaining a lot of the Holy Spirit. While Christ touched on the subject, Paul really got in depth about it. So obviously this is one of the things that that he was appointed to do. And so to cover his epistles, you'll really get a much better education.
When we look at Jesus' life as it's described for us in the Gospels, we see the Holy Spirit walking out through Jesus the perfect will of God. And that's how our lives are to be, just like Jesus' life, because of the Holy Spirit in us, living through us, and doing the same things and greater than what Jesus did.
Amen. Amen. It's that greatness. Now, there's discussion about what is greatness. Is it actually walking on twice as much water? Is it actually healing twice as many people? You know? Now, you recall that Jesus Christ covered the world as was known at that time. And one of the things that truly is great is when we lead people to the Lord. So certainly, this is not anything to be ruled out, bringing salvation to the nations, to all the world. This is certainly a great, great thing. And in fact, when Christ came to the house of Israel and preached to them, told them to go out and make disciples of all who were in the world, this would also be a greater thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. Folks, there's nothing like the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nothing like it. And this is going to come to you through the Holy Spirit. There are many, many facets of Christianity today. There's, like 400, I heard at one time. I thought it was closer to 150. But you're looking at a lot of people who've got the same Bible. Obviously, they're all reading it differently. So this is why, again, it's necessary to get back to basics, because what has happened here is the flesh has gotten in the way. And if you don't let the Spirit lead, then you're going to wind up choosing one church or another, and there's so many of them out there that once you have a problem with one church, you're going to walk out. This is a problem that the church, quote, church, or churchianity, if you want to call it, has today, is that when they finally get tired of one thing, they move on to another. Why do you think that is, folks? Could it possibly be because the church or whatever church you're at doesn't have it all? It would lead me to believe that if everyone is leaving one church and going to another and then leaving that church and going to another, that the church doesn't have it all yet. They're still seeking something to fulfill. And a lot of people, they just want to have tickled ears. They want to hear a sermon that it's okay to sin as long as you come to church on Sunday. But the truth is, there's a lot of folks out there who are seeking truth and are seeking the Spirit of God, and they're not finding it. So when the Bible says to come together in the spirit of love, brother, it's talking about you. It's talking about me. We can't always look at what the Scriptures have to say and say, well, they're talking about that one church. I know who he's talking about. You know, this Scripture is all for that church, let me tell you. No, sir, it's for you. First, remove the beam out of your own eye. And it starts with each and every individual, each and every man. David talks about man having a divided heart. And once our heart becomes whole and complete, bent toward Christ, then we are at that point capable of going out and affecting our family. And then once the family is whole, at that point, we're able to go to the church. And then once the church is whole, the church is able to go to the community. So it starts with each and every one of us, folks. Every single day, it starts with each and every one of us. Let's never forget the grace that God's given us and the power that he's given us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, folks, it's been a wonderful, wonderful day talking about the Holy Spirit. And everybody's out there now having barbecue. I've got one other person with me in the studio at this point. We've gone from about 10 people to one. So we're going to continue discussing whatever the Holy Spirit would lead. What lately, sister, has the Spirit of God and has happened with you and your faith? What kind of praise report do you have lately? Any kind of action? You're here from another city?
Yes, I am. I'm here from D.C. area.
From the D.C. area.
And
that's hot over there. Well, not temperature-wise.
Yeah, it's God has a work to do there.
Amen.
And that will be coming. But God brought me here today to accomplish some things in the Spirit. And those things are accomplished mainly through prayer. And those the Father is faithful to complete what he, what his heart is calling and wanting done. And Jesus gave us the example of what we're supposed to be doing. Our mission in life is to bring the kingdom of God from heaven to the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the mission of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives today, whether on a personal level, on a family level, community or church level, small group level. The Father wants the kingdom of God to be manifested in the earth and for his body of believers, his people who are part of the body of Jesus, to walk in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven on the earth and show the world what his heart is like and how he wants for everybody. And
yeah,
that's primarily where my focus is and what's going on in my life.
So is the Lord led you in any specific way to perform a certain duty in his ministry?
Right now, basically, I spend time in prayer.
Prayer warrior.
Prayer.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So this also would be an avenue of faith, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is an exercise in faith. So this would be a gift of faith that he's given you.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, possibly so.
Well, to each is given certain gifts according to his will, and faith is mentioned among the gifts. So it is an important gift. If a person has been gifted with faith, then that is a person who pleases God, because it's impossible to please him without faith. And God listens to prayer. I am amazed at how God listens to the prayers of women. Women are the majority of the prayer warriors. Men have a tendency to not write, not call, not remember your birthday or the anniversaries, things like this. Communication is not a strong point for men. But for women, it is. They communicate the way that they feel frequently. This is one of the things that attributes to their long life. And it's also something I believe that women have been gifted with because men are more physically apt, more physically, we're tuned to do, to pull the plow. And the wife is there with more of the communication skills, more of the administrative abilities and desires. You know, men just have a tendency to throw their socks on the ground when they come home and that's it, you know, but It's a wonderful thing to see how many women in the church today are pleasing God and how many of their prayers he's answering. I believe that the focus of the ministry has gone toward women because of the lackadaisical leadership of men. And if the Spirit of God is going to go forth and not return void, then folks, he's going to use whoever's willing.
That's the key. Many are called, and God will use whoever happens to say yes, whoever decides to say, okay, I'll do that. And it's not a gender issue, it's not an age issue, it's an issue of, you know, will you say yes or no to what God puts on your heart to do.
Amen. One thing they say is that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, if you consider that this is, quote, a man's world, and guess who's more likely to be corrupted, fellas? Men. Now, one thing I did notice about the two weapons that I'm aware of that Satan uses, one being temptation, the other being fear, is that men have a tendency to be overcome by temptation, in general, more frequently than women. Yet women have a tendency to succumb to fear more so than men. And this is kind of touched on in the scriptures, and this was confirmed to me when I was looking through Paul's letters as well, is that he warns against temptation in there. But at the same time, when he's talking to husbands and wives and stuff, when he addresses the wives, he's warning against fear. And so this is funny how with my wife, you know, she may have a tendency to have girlish fears, you know, where she will
she will be, oh my gosh, you know, and lose it for a minute, and I'll help keep her in line as far as that's concerned, you know, and I'll strengthen her a lot, you know. So that's one thing I noticed. And she's a beautiful woman. So that's one of the great things about her is that being married to somebody with a heart like she has really satisfies me. A woman who is in love with the Lord, and she loves me because I'm sold out and He comes first for both of us before the other person does. And to have a wife like that really doesn't make me have to look any further. You know, I'm content with that. And so she quenches any kind of temptation that comes my way.
Right, and that's if each person in the marriage, the husband and the wife, are both focused and their commitment is directed totally and completely to our Father in heaven, then that marriage will work. Otherwise, there's all kinds of anxiety that comes in, and that's why the statistics of marriage in these days, you know, so many don't last, even among supposedly called Christians. And it's because the two people are not focused totally and first and foremost with the Father.
Amen. That's described as a mountain going to God, seeking God. This again touches on the point for you folks who aren't sure what we've been talking about with the Holy Spirit. Seeking God in all things that you do, seeking His face rather than His hand. And there's one analogy that's given about climbing a mountain to seek God. You're on one side of the mountain and your wife is on the other. And it looks like a triangle. Now, you're headed toward the top on one end, and your wife is headed toward the top on the other side. And folks, the closer you get to God, the closer you are to your spouse. That's where the three of you meet, is on the top of the mountain. And so what our primary focus is toward God. And that ultimately is going to make everything else iron itself out. Because we're down here no longer as physical beings with a spiritual type of experience. We come after a Holy Spirit awakening. We become spirit creatures, and we are now having a physical experience rather than physical creatures having a spiritual experience anymore. So seek that which is spirit. Seek that which is not of this planet, which is not of this world. Don't seek the troubles of this world. Don't focus. Don't do as the world does. And if you do what the Spirit says, then all their problems, your flesh problems, will go away. Amen. Well, it's been a wonderful day. A very wonderful day. We got about 15 minutes. If there's any callers who want to call in, talk about their experience or any of their testimonies with the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's been doing lately in their life, or how the Holy Spirit came upon them or in their lives, any testimonies out there, you can call the station at 702-293-5224. You're listening to From the Hip with JT on Remnant Radio, talking about the Holy Spirit. There's an amazing amount of ways that he can affect you. One of the things that I recall after I received the Holy Spirit was that when I prayed to Him, He would answer me audibly. And this was a big change to me. For somebody who was completely unaware of God, all of a sudden His reality was more real than reality as we know it. The spirit realm, strangely enough, is all around us, but we can't tell it. And it's hard to explain until you're in eternity. And when you're in the presence of eternity, that the spirit world is more real than the flesh. Because it's not the flesh that gives birth to the spirit, but it's the spirit that gives birth to the flesh. One of the things I use as an analogy for this is if somebody becomes angry and they grab a, a vase, and they throw it across the room, and it shatters on the wall. That breaking glass, that sound, and all those pieces flying everywhere, that is pretty real to us. I mean, that is, you know, you can't get much more realer. And the thing is the anger that caused that vase to fly across the room, folks, is more real than the vase itself. Because it's the anger that caused the man or whoever, the woman, to grab the vase and to throw it across the room. So you got to look at the root, at the source. What's more real, what was created or the creator? It's the source that's more real. And that's as close as I can get to trying to explain to you that the spirit world is more real than the physical. So, because it's not the mouth that is speaking the words, but it's the heart that has the words in it, which causes the mouth to speak. So we need to understand, some people think that the heart is only a muscle, but I tell you, it's got words in it. The Holy Spirit, once we have the Holy Spirit, He changes our hearts. He gives us a new heart and a desire to seek the face of God. And this is true freedom, folks. This is true freedom from self, true freedom from the world, true freedom from churchianity and false doctrine. And as the sister read earlier today, that the Spirit teaches us all these things. We know, once the Spirit comes upon us, we receive His knowledge, and we know all things. And this is a beautiful thing, a great freedom to have the knowledge of Christ. Amen. So what's it like over there in D.C.? Do you see a lot of picketing? And
actually, there's just a lot of government workers.
A lot of everybody's in a red tie, huh?
They're all in their cars rushing to work, going to a job they don't like.
Amazing. What a great deal of sadness.
And they get up and do it over and over and over and over again. Wow. Each person in their own little world.
I understand that one of the main streets there that the White House is on is actually one of the filthiest pornography-ridden streets in the country. Is this true?
There's areas of the town that are like that, yes.
Isn't that amazing? The actual capital of our country, of the whole country, is littered like that.
It's no different than any other city.
That's horrible. It should be. It should be like Jerusalem. It should be like a city on a hill, you know? I mean, it really should be a light to all nations, but what has happened is internal corruption. Lack of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
God has some things planned for that place, too. So.
Amen. Do you take part in any activity that goes on in D.C.?
Not really. I'm active in politics a little bit, things like that, but that's about it.
So active in politics, you support different petitions?
I basically work elections and things like that. So.
Right. Work elections. What do you do?
You
don't have to kill me if you tell me, right?
No, I'm at the polling
places
and try to encourage people to go vote.
Indeed.
And, of course, you know, because that's the best way to express one's opinion. And it's important that we have the opportunity to do that, that we do express our opinions. And because at some point in time, it may be that we won't have that opportunity.
Yes.
And that freedom to express what we think and feel.
You know, so many of us believe in this new national security measure, you know, of getting into everybody's emails and phone and you name it. And I think it's a great idea, but I can tell you right now, it's going to be corrupted. There is not one good idea that has ever come forth from mankind that has not been corrupted. In fact, the ideas that God has had for mankind have even been corrupted. So, unfortunately, like they say, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, I see this as leaning toward more of the New World Order type of events. You know, more of a gripping control and a, what would you call it, no longer a democracy. You know, it's really slipping away from that.
Yes, it is.
But you can't give people absolute freedom, because that's what destroys the country. That's what destroyed the country, and that was said
before democracy was even enacted by a wise man, that the true freedom that we all have is so absolute that we are actually destroying it. We cannot be given, our hearts are innately wicked, and we cannot be given that kind of freedom. If we do not learn how to love the law, like the Israelites had to learn to love the law in order to follow it, we've got the minds of slaves. We're slaves to sin.
Well, as a New Testament believer, the law that we're to follow is the law of agape love.
Amen.
And agape love doesn't harm another person. It doesn't do ill to another person. Agape love provides and assists and gives whatever is needed, and meets and agape love meets the needs of others. And that's what our Father wants to establish, have a body of believers who will walk in agape love and show it to the world.
Amen. Agape love. Explain that to our listeners.
Agape love is the love that God has for mankind, in that he gave Jesus. He gave part of himself, totally and completely, when he didn't have to. There's no selfishness in agape love. It's out of love comes different qualities and attributes: peace and joy, faith, hope, believing the right thing, doing the right thing. Agape love is a motivator, and the only way we can walk in agape love is by the Holy Spirit, because he brings agape love to our hearts.
So without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to know what true love is.
Very true. That's true.
So it's a sacrificial love.
Yes, giving of oneself, esteeming somebody else more than you esteem yourself.
Which is not in our nature, is it?
No.
So without the Spirit of God, we're going to be operating off of our own faculties, and we're going to be getting it wrong. Just like the fruit of the tree of knowledge, this is what's interesting about it, is the knowledge of good and bad. We ate of that knowledge, and we had the knowledge of good just as well as we had the knowledge of bad, but it still killed us. Our concept of what is good still kills us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as the tree of life, which was again given to us on that cross, folks. And he was given the Holy Spirit, and he in turn gave it to us. So all you have to do is ask. It's open for the asking. When you receive that Holy Spirit, you'll understand what God's love is all about, which is found in Jesus Christ. And when we use that love, it changes the world. And that's what they need up on Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Amen.
Definitely.
You know, the church has gone through so many revisions lately. I know that the Catholics have gone through some, I don't want to say revival, because that would indicate that they've gone back to what they were, but more of a change. What's the word I'm looking for? I also know that I believe the Baptists have also gone through that. Of course, the Episcopalians or whoever it was that had the gay priest that came out of the closet, they've had a lot of changes going on. And with all the trouble that the Catholic Church had with the sexual problem and all that, there's been a lot of doctrinal changes as well. So I see the body of Christ coming more and more and more focused. A lot of people are leaving these denominationalisms and going into more of a non-denominationalist view. But at the same time, I've even seen this non-denominationalism take on a certain denominationalism. So, like I said, anything that starts out as a good idea. I mean, the Crusades started out as a good idea, folks. The Inquisition started out as a good idea, but it becomes corrupted. So without the Holy Spirit and him teaching and leading the way and focusing on the life of Christ and what he taught us in those four Gospels, we're really going to get it wrong. We're going back to the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. What we think is good and what we think is bad. This still is the tree of death, folks. The tree of death.
The opposite is the tree of life. So just the knowledge, our knowledge, just call it death, okay? So look up the Holy Spirit, talk to God, call out to God, cry out to God, because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, a lot of things going on over there at Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know D. James Kennedy is a very prominent activist with his Reclaiming America for Christ, and they've got an office over there. There's Women of a National... there's a women's association I used to give to years ago. Oh, we got a caller. That's probably Brave Feather, who's on here at 1 o'clock. Folks, we're going to patch him in and see what we have. Who is it? You're on the air. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there he is.